It's difficult to understand how dreadful something is until you live it. Almost 11 years ago, I was serving in my first call across the river in Maryland when John Allen Muhammad, a man who will be remembered as the DC sniper, was executed for his crimes. At the time, as I watched and read all the news reports leading up to Muhammad's execution, I began to recall watching the tale of Muhammad's shooting spree play out in the news outlets 7 years before. I watched television newscasts that detailed the horror, as well as interviews with the victims' families. I watched grief-stricken people tell about the incident, how they didn't see anything at all before somebody was shot. I remember poring over newspaper articles and reading about it at CNN.com, words that painted pictures of a city held captive by fear. But I was reminded then that no image or news report I saw could ever help me realize what it was like to live here for those 3 weeks. I would never understand the fear of being able to leave my house or go to the grocery store or rake the leaves in my front yard. I didn't know the anxiety of pumping gas and wondering if I would finish filling my tank, of wondering if my kids or grandkids would be safe at school, or having to explain to them why they couldn't go play outside or go to soccer practice. I did not know what most of the people in my congregation knew, to be constantly looking over my shoulder for something I know we'll never see before it injures me. Some of you know what that was like. You lived here 18 years ago. But the rest of us, we don't know what it was like. We don't understand until maybe now. Now we know the fear and the uncertainty of making a trip out to the grocery store, wondering if we'll not only bring home our groceries, but also an invisible enemy. An enemy that has the potential to cause anything ranging from no symptoms to mild symptoms to life-threatening complications. It is this truth that we live with, the uncertainty of the whole situation, that allows all of us to have an entry into this morning's gospel text that we may never have had before. We have a doorway into knowing what it will look like when nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs, Jesus says. For us this morning, these are not merely words on a page, an ominous warning for those who live a peaceful, relatively safe life, a warning maybe even to our past selves. Instead, you know what suffering and fear is. Many of you are living with it. And knowing this gives you and anybody else who has experienced such things an entry point into Jesus' words this morning. It can be easy to read the Bible and to intellectualize what is written there, to remain distant from the experience. But when we have lived through the agony of wondering if any given moment will be our last, if the forces of evil will prevail and claim us as victims in a cosmic war, these words are not simply platitudes or meant for somebody else. These words are for us and for all those who are suffering intimately down through the core of their being, those who do not live day to day in relative safety, assuming that there will be a tomorrow to plan for. These are not merely words on a page or news reports that detail something that we can never understand or know, nor are these statements that describe a bygone era, one we will never see again. And so these are very present realities for us and for others around the world. The reality of the uncertainty of knowing if care will be available to us if we need it, or if not us, then our parents, our grandparents, and our friends who are at risk. For those who are nurses, doctors, or other healthcare workers and their families, these words recognize the uncertainty of the availability of personal protective equipment to protect yourself as you care for others. We know Jesus' warning that even such great buildings will be thrown down, and that there will be wars and rumors of wars, that there will be events that catapult our daily lives into disarray and cause suffering and pain. We know these words to be true. We know anxiety. We know uncertainty. Some of us know pain. They have become familiar friends to us lately as we anticipate the financial and human cost of this pandemic. But in all of this, Jesus still speaks a word of hope. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come, he says. Do not be alarmed. The end is coming. This will not go on forever. Sure, it's bad, awful even, and things will likely get much worse, but the end is coming. Do not give up hope. Hope that things do not have to be like this. Do not fear. COVID-19 and death do not have the final word. The end is coming and it will be much better than this. We must continue on in this time of pain and anguish, but don't be alarmed, disturbed, or frightened. And we're able to do this because we trust that God is present with us in the midst of this, that God is at work among us, comforting those who weep and remaining with those who seemingly die alone. God will continue to be at work, present in our uncertainty and our fear. And to know that, to trust that God is present, we only need to look for the signs. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near, Jesus says. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Just like the cherry blossom trees have blossomed and other trees are bearing the flowers that serve as a precursor to spring and then eventually summer, these are the signs of God's presence among us. Signs of love in the midst of the fear and the uncertainty. People are writing notes of encouragement and love to each other on the sidewalks outside of their houses. They're organizing drive-by parades for kids whose birthday parties were canceled because of the social distancing. Some of you are supporting small businesses during this time, knowing that help supports the people that they employ. Hospital workers continue to work on the front lines of the battle. And then earlier this week, a 72-year-old Italian priest gave up his ventilator so a younger patient would have a shot at life, making the ultimate sacrifice. There is love in the midst of the fear and the uncertainty. God is present in the midst of the fear and the uncertainty. Even the choice to stay home is an act of love, to help care for others at this time. We are the body of Christ, working to ensure the health of every person. We give to those organizations that help provide for those in our community most in need, giving food and financial assistance to Arlington Food Assistance Center and money to support Arlington Free Clinic as they care for others, and Arlington Thrive as they help those who are in immediate need of financial assistance. And we do not panic, trusting that God will be with us, working to create a new life out of the suffering, pain, and death we will soon face. In 2 short weeks, we'll be reminded that the story does not end with fear and suffering, but instead with hope for a new heaven and a new earth. It does not end with the violence of the cross, but instead the hope of the resurrection. Hope that there is there's more than wars and rumors and war, that hope that there will never again be pandemics, earthquakes, or famines, but instead security and abundance. Hope that there is something else, something better, something worth living for. Hope that the conversation can change, that the world can change, and that we will no longer speak in the language of fear, instead turning it to the language that we have been taught by God, one of faith, hope, and love. This is not the end, but it is coming. For this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. And soon we will see the birth of a new creation.